This is the Garden Path Podcast. Hey everybody, Misty here, and it is the final episode of 2020. I'm wrapping up with the last episode from our Thanksgiving hiking excursions. This one is from South Llano River State Park. It's in Junction, Texas, and it's probably an hour and a half west of San Antonio on I-10. So it is hill country, heading off into the Chihuahuan Desert. So you get a mix of different habitats and plants, and you start seeing the Central Texas mixing with West Texas, and it's a really cool area. It's one of our favorite state parks in the state. We've not been to every state park, but it's one that we do love to go to and go to time and time again. It's also a great stopping point if you're driving from West Texas to East Texas, because it breaks up that drive on I-10, because, you know, if you've seen the state of Texas and all the jokes like how long it takes from you to get from Beaumont to El Paso is the same distance as El Paso to like LA. That's basically it. It's a long drive. So when the last time actually we were at South Llano River State Park was, I think, 3 years ago, maybe, or 2 years ago. It's been a while. And we broke it up with a drive coming back from the Davis Mountains out in West Texas. It's always one of my favorite places to go. And it's a small town, Junction, and it's not built up like other hill country towns are getting built up. So it still has that small town vibe. And we actually had pretty good weather for this camping trip. There was a couple of nice warmer days, and we had a couple kind of cooler, drizzlier days. But we managed to have a great camping excursion, which we haven't always had in the past. Sometimes it's been pretty cold and dreary while we've been there. So I was recording these again around a campfire, and I was trying to be kind of quiet, not too loud, to the other campsites near me. And there was actually, it was really cool. I didn't even mention it in these episodes, but the ladies, there were two ladies next to us in the other campsite, and they were doing some nighttime mothing, and they had a black light and the sheet and did all this cool stuff. I almost went over there, but, and I probably would have if it hadn't been COVID times, I would have gone over there and been like, what are you guys looking at? What are y'all catching? But it was really cool to see some of the people kind of nerding out and geeking out on Lepidoptera. And that was really exciting to see. And there's some weird mixing of audio right when I start, a couple minutes in, because there were some kids across the street being really loud and noisy, and I had to kind of cut off and do some weird editing and that. But anyway, it's a great episode. I also wanted to mention, I think in the last episode, I mentioned axis deer and that they were from Africa, because I was not sure. And I actually looked it up later and I forgot to mention it's actually from the Indian subcontinent, axis are. And like I mentioned, a lot of ranches, people put them on ranches here because they can raise them and it's easy to hunt and there's no limit and all of that, because they're not native. Unfortunately, they do escape fences, fences break or whatnot, or they don't have a fence high enough and the deer jump. So yes, they do escape, and they're kind of, and they go off into other properties too. So we did see some later on some of the cam video. My husband put up a couple trail cams, and he actually put that together, and I'm going to put that in the show notes, because it's really cool to see all the animals that he got on his camera traps at both state parks, the Guadalupe River State Park and South Llano River State Park. And they are, there was a lot of really cool things to see, and you're going to want to see all of that. I haven't written any blog posts. I haven't even processed my photos. It's been a busy December, but I will put the photo of the Western pygmy butterfly that I mentioned in here, and that video of all the stuff from the camera trap on there for you guys to see. All right, on to this episode. So it's our second night here at South Llano River State Park. I'm going to try to record this. It's kind of noisy at the campsite across the way. Just like several kids. So hopefully don't get interrupted too much from them. But I'm not sure what is making this wonderful noise with the chirping. If you can hear all that. I'm sure it's a grasshopper of some kind. And I would love to find out. But oh, it's been a great day. It was actually unseasonably warm. It was probably in the low 80s, mid-afternoon today. It was actually pretty chilly overnight and warmed up out here. Ooh, pardon the yawn there. I'm kind of just sleepy. I even got an afternoon nap in the tent. But we woke up and went for a hike over in the Guadalupe turkey roost area. And that is an area set aside for these turkeys that you can only hike around in from 10 to 3 every day. And they like to keep it the morning and evenings closed off for them so that they can roost up in a bunch of different pecan and oak trees out there in this low flat area next to the South Lana River. And that's kind of, I would consider that the front country of this park. And then there's the back country, which we've hiked a good, the front half portion of the back country. I don't even think we won't get to go to the back part this trip either, just because tomorrow's weather is going to be more inclement with colder temperatures in the high 50s, potential rain, and some clouds. So we'll probably will do some hiking over in that area tomorrow, but not, we won't get to see the far stuff that few people get to see. I had actually thought about maybe we'd have a chance to go bike riding back there. I might take my bike, but that didn't happen. And I was actually pretty lazy today after we did our hike around in the turkey roost area. And most of that trail is called the Buck Lake Trail. It's a little pond, more than a lake, I would call it, back there. And you pass a bird blind leaving from the campground and just kind of walk. There's not a whole lot going on plant-wise right now. The trees are all defoliated. There's mostly a ton of frostweed out under the trees. Variety of grasses and prickly pear and mesquite and different trees like that. So we walked to Buck Lake and then continued on the trail towards the park boundary, which I think was the north or northeast side of the park. And we were searching for turkeys but didn't see any until we came to the park boundary. And Chris got his binoculars out and looked across this empty pasture of the private property. And sure enough, there were turkeys way in the distance. I mean, probably a quarter mile away. And so I took a couple pictures with my long lens on my camera just to throw onto iNaturalist later and be like, hey, yeah, there's some turkeys here. But they weren't super spectacular. Now, we have seen fields of the turkey out on the park road as you approach in, but they haven't seen them this time around. We haven't seen them. I don't know if we're going to get to see them like that. I hope we do. But then we continued on up the trail to the river and just walked that. Chris wanted to fish, and I was on the lookout for butterflies. Because it was a warm day, the butterflies were definitely flying around. And I've been trying to get photos of some of them, because there's a bunch of different ones that are in this region that I'm not used to seeing. Snouts are one of them, which I saw at Guadalupe River State Park. And there were some different crescents and a lot of sulfurs, some smaller butterflies, nothing too large. And so they're all flying around and just trying to stalk butterflies while I can. And so we're getting on the trail and hopping down to the gravel bar for Chris to fish in the river. And Chris and my son kept going forward, and I'm just dilly-dallying because I'm also iNaturalisting at the same time, just like taking photos, logging things as I find them on the gravel bar. And then of course I see this plant blooming, and it's, you know, there's not a lot blooming right now, so whatever's blooming is going to be a nectar source for butterflies. And so luckily there was some crescent and sulfur there, and because it's like nectar city, they're kind of staying put, so they let me get pretty close to them. So I was able to take several great pictures. And then as I noticed, I thought it was a leaf kind of flutter. And then I realized, well, it was another butterfly kind of hiding below a little branch of the flower. And so I kind of finagle myself around wondering, okay, can I move without scaring them off? And sure enough, it's this teeny tiny blue butterfly. And it's one of the blues. And I was like, well,
okay, I'm not up on what blues are around here. So I'm taking some photos, and then I'm thinking, man, this is a very tiny blue. And blues are generally not huge. They're pretty small, but this one was pretty tiny. And I had an inkling in my head. I was like, well, this could be a Western pygmy blue. But I wasn't sure because I haven't looked them up recently to see what they look like. But so I'm just keep taking pictures. And finally, it's docile enough for me to actually get my phone out and get closer. And so I grab my phone and take some decent photos and a couple videos of it nectaring on this flower, which I've yet to identify. And anyway, I put it up on iNaturalist really quickly, and I was right, it is a Western pygmy blue, and they are the smallest butterfly in North America. And I see varying reports of them being maybe the smallest butterfly in the world. It seems like there's a couple others that I think they all kind of compete for the smallest butterfly. So it's one of the smallest butterflies in the world. It's actually fairly common on iNaturalist, at least sightings-wise. So they're not like endangered or anything. They're just tiny and you don't really see them. And I wouldn't have seen that one if I hadn't just been sitting there on that plant watching those other two butterflies first. And so that was really cool. And then a few years ago, I saw an Eastern pygmy blue in Matagorda Island. Well, not an island, but Matagorda. Matagorda is an island, now that I think about it. There's a peninsula and an island. But I was on the peninsula part. And anyway, a few years ago, I saw an Eastern pygmy blue in Matagorda along the Texas coast. And of course, back then I didn't know what it was, but looked it up later. Eastern pygmy blue, very exciting. You know, one of the small butterflies to see. I was like, well, maybe someday I'll see that Western pygmy blue. And someday happened to be today. It was pretty exciting to get to hang out with the butterfly there for a while, and which is exactly what I wanted to do. And I mean, I had some fun trying to identify some other plants, and oh my gosh, seriously, the mullein is all over this creek as well, river rather, and several other invasive species. There was something else that I noticed. Oh, something that's really out of control here is white hoarhound. It's crazy all over this park, and I don't know, it's again one of those plants that I just don't see, like, I don't know, segmenting off parts of the area that it's in, and just like working a work crew every year working on that. I don't know, maybe I'm just dreaming of the abilities of our park service system and capabilities that they have money-wise and human work-wise, whether it's paid or volunteer. But that plant is pretty crazy, out of control. So that was the highlight for today. We didn't really do too much else this afternoon. I was mostly trying to stalk some butterflies here at the campsite and just spent a day relaxing. Now tomorrow will be a little different because we'll head up into the hills where it's drier. There'll be a lot of cactus and other interesting plants, and hopefully we'll find... We're actually on the hunt for a porcupine. This is kind of an interesting range. I actually looked it up a few years ago because I was curious how the range fit, because they do come into central Texas and then they stop, and there's this big gap from like the Midwest down to throughout the South until you get, I can't remember where it started on the Eastern seaboard, but there's this big gap, but then there's a whole bunch of them on the Eastern seaboard up through Canada, and then it drops down the West Coast into Texas. And yeah, it's interesting. So this is one of the parks we can find them in. So we're going to keep an eye out, see if we can see a porcupine. We've never seen one here. You know, actually, I don't think I've ever seen one. I've only seen one dead, roadkill, west of Austin, near towards Dripping Springs, actually west of Dripping Springs, as you're heading out towards Pedernales Falls State Park and Johnson City, out that way off of 290. So if you're out in Central Texas, keep your eye out for a porcupine. And hopefully tomorrow night I will be able to record another little update for our hike tomorrow, see if there's anything interesting we see hiking, but we'll see how it goes with the weather. I'm a little tired, so I'm going to go to bed. Oh, so I'm not sitting at a campsite recording this last little tidbit from camping at South Lana River State Park. I didn't get a chance to sit by the fire and do that again on Friday evening because we kind of tried to make the most of the last part of that day. We went and sat at the bird blind for a while as evening fell to see if any animals came out, and we actually ended up packing up early to get on the road on Saturday morning early because rain was going to be coming in, and we did. We finally missed it. We missed the rain, except we had all the rain on I-10 heading home, but we didn't have to deal with that packing up, so I was pretty busy Friday evening, so I didn't get to record. So I thought I would do my last little tidbit recording here before I put this together and for a podcast episode. But yeah, so Friday, we actually did a big hike, and I'm actually not sure about the mileage because I was at a sign that had a map, and I got my calculator out on my phone, and it came up with 9 miles then. And I swear, but I can't possibly be sure that I double checked that. And then I came home and I went and looked on the map again to double check. And somehow I came up like 6.5 miles. So I don't know. It felt like 9 miles, but maybe I was just tired. So I really need to see what happened there, if I messed something up. We had a big hike. I think I mentioned in the little recording I did right before this that we'd never seen the back country of the state park. And we were going to do one of the near country loops this time. And we did, but we got to the top of that loop and decided, well, I decided that it was still kind of early and Forrest was doing good, my son. And I just thought, let's keep going. And it was going to add, I don't know, another 3 or 4 miles. And so we did. We kept going. We were already up on a hill, so we didn't have to do a lot of elevation changing. And we did see some of that backcountry loop. And we saw a lot of different plants that we have not seen. And I'm going to pull those up here on iNaturalist. And I have to thank a couple people, local people in the hill country, who helped identify a lot of stuff. So one of the first interesting plants that I came across was a dwarf cinna, and I didn't realize it was a dwarf cinna until later, but I knew it was something interesting, and I wasn't sure if it was it was small and compact. It was a little plant inside the trail, blooming, and there's not a lot blooming right now, but, and sometimes, you know, plants can dwarf themselves just because they're in high traffic areas. The soil gets compact. It's not a great situation. So I wasn't sure if that was the situation here, but it is. It's a dwarf cinna. It's called Cinna pimilio, and it is super cute. And now I wish I had seeds, but I don't exactly have the best growth habitat for that here. So that was really cool. And then along the western boundary of the park on the trail, I just noticed a different shrub stuck out to me. It had big kind of oval, oblongish kind of shaped leaves. They were thick and a little bit fuzzy, and they had some blue-ish kind of fruit on them, but it was different enough for me to take a picture and throw it into iNaturalist, and it tried to tell me it was a silk tassel, but I wasn't sure, so I just kind of put plants and went off my day with it. And someone came back and said it was Lindheimer's silk tassel. It's called Garia lindheimeri. And so that was exciting. I saw quite a bit of it. I mean, not quite a bit. It wasn't like yaupon shrub thick, but there were enough plants to say that, okay, this is not as uncommon as you would think.
And so that was really cool to see. And that was neat. It was a Mexican buckeye that didn't have, it was defoliated because it was winter, but it had some fruit still on it. So that was neat. Oh, the evergreen sumacs. I love seeing those. This is the first time I saw them was out here. Rus virens. And it's just an evergreen sumac. Really kind of low shrubby plant. Oh, the Texas virgin's bower. Clematis drummondii. Very showy seed pods. And very, looks like kind of like a beardy. The Lorax. It has a Lorax looking beard. It was kind of cool. And some other little dwarf fleabanes that, you know, I'm not sure. I haven't been able to figure that out. Ringtail scat. And then we kind of turned off that one perimeter trail to skirt around to go to a windmill way out there. And I'm walking. I'm like, there's this funky plant with these some funky seed pods. And I'm just, we haven't seen it before. We have, or if we've seen it, we hadn't paid attention and noticed it. And the seed pods actually kind of look a little bit like the clematis in a way. It has that, I don't know, beardy looking situation going on. And it was pretty easy to figure out because not a lot that looks like it. And I wasn't sure which species it was. So I just put it in as whatever it suggested. It turns out it's an alder leaved mountain mahogany, Cerocarpus montanus. And let's see, it is a North American species of shrub or small tree in the Rosaceae family, native to northern Mexico and western U.S. And yeah, it has some sightings in the central Texas hill country, kind of west. Looks like somebody has sighted supposedly in Austin, some sightings over in west of San Antonio, Big Bend area. It looks like the Guadalupe Mountains. I think that's what that is going to be. Oh, no, that's Fort Davis and the Davis Mountains. Oh, yeah, and the Guadalupe Mountains. So those would be the public places that they're going to be hanging out. There's some sightings over in Mexico. And then it seems pretty prevalent in New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Colorado. Some sightings in Wyoming, California, a few in Nevada. I haven't double-checked. Sometimes sightings on iNaturalist are sketchy. There's one over here in eastern South Dakota, and someone has one in South Carolina. So if I see anything that's out of like a normal range, I usually go and check, and it's somebody's misidentified it or it's somebody growing it in like a garden. So that, but yeah, otherwise the range, it seems like it's fairly common in the Mountain West, but not so much in Texas. So that was a really neat sighting. And then it turns out there's like several other specimens in that area. We saw it quite frequently, and then apparently several other people had noted it near kind of near some bird blinds, but we hadn't noticed it. And then after that, we walked along, kind of came down the trail, and taking them as it's called Mid Canyon Trail, kind of goes up and bisects the middle of the park, and it's a pretty nice trail. And then Chris, he wanted to walk along the creek that kind of winds alongside that. So he did that at first, and my son and I stayed on the trail and kind of met up with him at the creek. This is a dry creek bed and trail crossings. And then eventually we're like, this looks actually really cool. So we just kept walking along the creek and just keeping track of where it crossed the road, the trail, to make sure we knew when the last time it was going to cross, we would just get back on the trail. And so we did that a few times, and just some really cool limestone cliffs and little caves, for lack of a better word, up pretty high that look like good porcupine homes. And that was one of the species we wanted to see, but we did not find. And yeah, it was just a really cool little area. And then there was another interesting plant. There's a lot of weird things when you go weird areas, and it looked like a eupatorium to me, but it turns out it's called Gravelbar Bricklebush, Brickellia cylindraceae, and doesn't tell much about it, but sightings are, I don't know, it's almost endemic to Texas. I need to read more about it. Someone has a post of it in Mexico, but it's definitely all primarily Central Texas, Austin, San Antonio, and a little bit up near, this is very interesting. Let's see, where was this at? Up near, between Glen Rose and Meridian. Okay, so southwest of Fort Worth. And if you know where Dinosaur Valley State Park is, and actually it looks like somebody has mentioned it there as being in Dinosaur Valley State Park. Anyway, it's just this little, I don't know, it's hard to explain what it looks like. I'll put pictures up in the show notes so you can see what it looks like, but I would have probably had a hard time figuring out what it was if somebody hadn't identified it for me. And I did find a bluebonnet seedling, so bluebonnets are getting ready to go into spring prep for April blooms. And just a lot of other different plants we saw along the way. It was a good hike. And then, yeah, we got back late afternoon. Spent some time at the bird blind watching some birds. There's four bird blinds there, which are really, it's really cool to be able to go just sit and see what's going to come by. And a lot of wildlife comes and goes there because it's a good water source. And so that was exciting. And then my husband had put out some trail cams in a couple spots. So when we got home, we looked at those between both of the state parks. And there was ringtail and deer and possum, raccoon, pigs, axis, ringtails. Oh, a fox, gray fox, an armadillo, and a little like mouse or a rat. We couldn't tell exactly the size. It looks like a very big mouse or a small rat. And so that was all exciting. And I'll put the video he put together of that in the show notes for the episode too, because that was really, it's just really quite cool to see what goes on when, you know, we're not around and how secretive some of these animals are. And so anyway, I wish this was a little wrap up sitting by the campfire, but I'm not, and I figured I would keep with the same mode of audio quality and do a voice memo again. And all right, that's it for this episode. I appreciate you guys listening for my rambles for 2020 and getting this podcast going again. Next year I will be hopefully launching into a more nature-based garden podcast and a little bit more focus, a little less rambly, but I'm sure I'll have some rambling episodes too, and definitely some more hiking episodes because I enjoy putting these together and learning as I go and sharing that with y'all. So have a safe rest of 2020, and let's all hope 2021 is much better. Happy gardening, everybody.